thought about an old song my mama used to sing. She'd say, as Jacob was traveling, was weary one day, not on a stone for a pillow did lay. A vision appeared of a ladder so high, it stood on the earth while the top reached the sky. Hallelujah to Jesus who died on the tree to raise up this ladder of mercy for me. Press onward, climb upward, the top is in view, and a crown of bright glory awaiting for you. This ladder so tall and yet so well made stood thousands of years, but it's never decayed. It went from the heavens, it reeled and it rocked, but the angels, they guard it from bottom to top. Hallelujah to Jesus who died on the tree to raise up this ladder of mercy for me. Press onward, climb upward, top is in view, and a crown of bright glory awaiting for you. Oh, I say, Mama, I don't know what makes you sing like that. Don't understand it, Mama. Won't nobody go to church with you? Daddy won't go? I swear to God ain't going. Sister won't go? I said, Mama, what makes you sing like that? She says, it's the Lord, son, it's the Lord. I said, Mama, I said, I can't understand it. I said, I sure don't feel like singing. And I don't see how you always get up on Sunday morning a sing. She'd say, it's the Lord, son, it's the Lord. Oh, and I got saved. I just joined old Mama and I said, it is the Lord, Mama. You're right, it's the Lord. Amen. Oh, she knows what you're talking about. Oh, Mama. Sometime I'll be in meeting with her, not often now, but I get to. I get her up with me. Me and her will sing some old hymn out of the book. Mama raised a little hand. Praise God for a preacher boy. Why, she thinks I'm Ben Sunday. Huh? Why, she would cry at me for all I'm and all the whiskers he had on his face, he wouldn't trade me for her. I mean, I know that so, but you never could convince my old gray-headed mama that. She thinks I'm preaching a preacher, boy. I don't ever tell her no different. I don't say amen, mama. Amen. Oh, that's good. I want to preach to you tonight an old, old message. I want to preach to you on God's amazing grace. God's amazing grace tonight. Well, I was said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. How about that? My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. But Dave, if you will, leave while we pray, brother.
Father God,
we
thank you, Lord, for coming tonight, God, all of us. God, for here tonight, but we want to scare. I don't believe anybody's scared of our attention is tonight. God, we all need something tonight. We need something, Lord, asking you for something. God, we just don't know no better than just to trust you and ask you to give us something tonight. God, we ask you that, Lord, our thoughts of coming and going will be laid aside tonight. God, that the Lord Jesus Christ might come and scrub our hearts and do something for us that we need, God. Father, I pray you bless the brother tonight. God, use him. Use him as a vessel. Give him liberty. God, don't let me hear anybody in here tonight. God, if you let your son cling to any spirit trying to cause problems, anything trying to cause trouble, anything trying to hinder work tonight, I pray you make it barren tonight, get it out of the way, bind it up. And Father, listen to Brother Knight, help him to preach. Feed us tonight, God, give us that soul that's lost. Scrub out all those things that's been living in sin and draw us all back to that wonderful grace of God. I'm so grateful. Help me out. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
is. All right, look at the will of the Bible, chapter 12, verse 9. The Bible said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, it's true in Paul's day that God's grace is sufficient for whatever the need was. Now, I'll tell you, in 1986, brother, God's amazing grace is still sufficient. Yeah. Don't matter what no doctor tells you. Don't matter what no professor tells you. I mean, God's got grace today, brother.
Yeah.
Somebody said God can't do it. God can do it. God's got grace today. I mean, it's sufficient for the valleys, the problems, the circumstances, whatever's wrong in your life. God's got grace for you.
Yeah.
The Bible said in verse 9, he said, my grace is. Somebody said, what does that little word is mean? That means it was present grace right here. I mean, he said, my grace is. That ain't next week, that ain't tomorrow, that ain't next month, but that's present grace. And I'm glad God's got grace for right now, ain't you? I mean, sometimes, brother, I couldn't wait for next week. I couldn't wait for next month. Sometimes I need a touch of God, but right now, I mean, he said, my grace here. That means it was present grace. He said, my grace is sufficient. Somebody said, what does sufficient mean? That meaning was plenteous grace. Not only is it present grace, but it's plenteous grace. I mean, there's grace and more grace. And somebody said there's a gas shortage. Some of the farmers said they the water shortage. And some of them said they the shortage of a foreigner. But you ain't never been to Miami if you believe that, brother. But somebody said they the shortage on this and that. But I want to tell you tonight, there's plenty of God's amazing grace. I mean, well, the river and the waters may run dry, but God's got grace tonight, and there's more grace to go around. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. That for thee meant it was personal grace. I mean, I'm glad you got saved. I'm glad every one of you got in by the grace of God. But I'm glad I got in, brother. I mean, I'm glad it's personal grace. I'm glad the children got in. I'm glad them children up here a while ago singing about God. That blessed my heart, brother. Somebody said, why can they sing like that? Because God's amazing grace.
Yeah.
I mean, that grace, brother, reaches there and changes women or women, men, and boys' lives. That grace will get the job done. Personal grace. I'm glad of that tonight. I thought about an old outlaw. A man that's enslaved, praying, ought to die, should have died, he is guilty. He's riding around all over his country, selling people into slavery and bondage. One day, him a slave himself in bondage, he got under conviction by the Holy Ghost of God, and the Lord dealt with his heart, and old John Newton pinned down the cross. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Yeah.
I thought about old William Copper over there on the London Bridge going to commit suicide. Oh, wretched, and about to kill himself, and God dealt with old William Copper. He got out on that bridge and got saved, and pinned down the soul. There's a fountain filled with blood. And sinners underneath that floor lose all their gifts and saved. God's amazing grace is transformed and changed people down through the ages. I mean, somebody said, now the Bible said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Somebody said, what does that my mean? That means he's the author of this grace. It ain't your grace. It ain't my grace. But it's his grace, brother.
Yeah.
And he gives it out like he wants to give it out tonight. I mean, I thought about that. If he's the author of this grace, what kind of grace does he have? Well, first of all, tonight he's got saving grace. I mean, I like saving grace, don't you? How somebody said, I mean, all the time talking about hyper-Calvinism, hyper-dispensationism, I'm hyper-gracism, amen? That's what I am, brother.
Yeah.
I'm hyper-gracism. down in Alabama prison a while back. Old black man, about 60 year old. He had done 30 years in the penitentiary, named Sanders. He was my solo singer in my meetings. I'd play for him, and he had sang. And I mean, he had sang too, brother. Boy, he got through, I was ready to preach every time.
Yeah.
He'd sing them good old black spirituals. And I say, thank God, Sanders, you done? He'd say, I'm done, preach. I say, well, I'm ready, brother. Get your feet over and let's preach a while.
Yeah.
Oh, we work together like a pair of mules, day in and day out. Oh, Sanders, he'd say, country. He'd say, play the piano for me, country. I'd strike him a chord, he'd say, thank God, come through that way. It's getting good tonight.
Yeah.
We might need a steel-eyed dog to get out of here after a while.
Yeah.
Hey, good brother.
Yeah.
When God comes by, amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was up there teaching a Bible study in the morning. You never would think I'd do no teaching, would you?
Yeah.
I was trying to teach the book of Job in the morning there in the prison. Old Sanders was sitting over here to my left. And the call came through the intercom system. Said, Sanders, come up to the front office where the guard sat here. He went up there, and I figured it was over a bump change or maybe a visiting list or something like that. And we went on about our meeting, and I went out to the chow hall to eat dinner with him. You know a Baptist preacher ain't going to miss dinner time if they feed. And I called for dinner time, went down there to go eat with him, and I looked over at the gate. Pulled back the gate where the guard checks one in the front office and the psychiatrist, all the psychologists and the personal workers. There they were. And I stood old man Sanders over there. That old black man, gray-headed, done 30 years in the penitentiary. There he stood with a three-piece suit on. Oh, I mean, he had one of them Goodwill suits on. That thing was about gold color. He had an old ragged t-shirt up under that bed. And that coat on that bed. And them boogie-ass shoes they give you in prison. And them with your leg rolled up. He's a hollering, come here, preacher. Let me talk to you. I walked over and said, Sander, what you doing in them clothes you got on? He said, preacher, how do I look? I said, you look like a convict, Sander. He said, oh, preacher, I know what you say there. I said, what you doing in them clothes on? He said, brother Dan, said, I've been here a long time, son. But this morning, they told me they're fixing a parole, man, turn me loose. I said, sir, man, you better quit lying and tell me the truth. He said, brother Danny, let me show you my paper. He reached in that pocket and pulled out the paper. It said, Sander, parole on December the 22nd of 1985. I said, Sanders, I don't believe it. He said, I don't either, Danny. But I'm leaving here this morning. I'm going to go out of here and live for God, son. I said, Brother Sanders, what you going to do when they walk up to you and tell you you look like a convict? He said, I'm going to pull out my paper and show them I've been paroled.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Down there, yeah. Boy, where I live, brother, but some of them said, old temple, he is always an outlaw. And I don't believe he got saved, but I just pull out my paper. Saving grace, brother.
Yeah.
Preaching now and getting people out of sin.
Yeah.
I remember one time, me and my wife out visiting. Door knocking, we've been all day. I mean, it didn't look like nothing's gonna happen. Looked like everything is in vain. We knocked on the door, trying to get somebody to go to Sunday school. And there nobody wouldn't go. Finally, we came to the house. Four of those snotty nosed youngins come running out. That's dirty. That's not enough. And like nobody cared about them. Hey, one of them grabbed me around the leg. Said, preacher, we'll go with you in the morning.
Yeah.
I said, hallelujah. I got me five children that are going to meet with me in the morning. Her mama was a drunk addict. Her daddy was a dope addict. Her nobody wanted nobody to do with her. But they're no children, boy. They wanted somebody to come by and get her. A week after week went by. We went by and got them children. But they're dirty. I was riding around with me. I mean, I was glad, brother, for them to get in there with me. I mean, it'd do us good sometimes. I'd go down the gutter, go down the alley, and get somebody that's in sin, in depravity, and get out there in the ditch with them, and thank God, help me, and I want them to God. God, I'm enjoying this, ain't you?
Yeah.
Oh, we gotta get on saving grace, but don't I'll finish up later. I'm talking about saving grace.
Yeah.
I mean saving grace.
Yeah.
We went over and got them youngers one night. And I was supposed to be preaching, so I had a cancellation. You ever had a cancellation? I've had several of them.
Yeah.
Several cancellations. But I'm telling you, when I was feeling sorry for myself, but God was working something out on the other end.
Yeah.
I told my wife, I said, "Huh, we never went back and got them on Sunday night, but we're off tonight going to our home church. Let's go by and get them youngers and give them a good blessing tonight." We drove up in that yard that night, and guess who walked out on the porch dressed ready to go to church? Not only them four youngers sitting there waiting on somebody to come get them, but Mama and Daddy's ready too.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I got out of that little bed because it's fair. Hallelujah, children.
But
Mama and Daddy, let's go to meet tonight. We got there in the church house. We went up there to the choir. The glory of God began to fall. We're singing something over here. But them young was running around like a fancy Indian back there in the back.
Yeah.
Mama and Daddy couldn't pay no attention. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, "Why don't you go back there and get them youngers and see if the more Mama and Daddy can hear a gospel message." I mean, brother, I didn't put off on the word. I didn't call in the good sister. I just went and got them a fire. Amen, Daddy.
Amen.
See, I was afraid I got orders from headquarters. I was afraid to give orders to somebody else. Don't look like I had my name on them.
Yeah.
I just know if I can't get
yeah.
And took them down the nursery. And there they were. Well, my old preacher up there, he was preaching hell hard, heaven sweet, brother. I mean, cat meat was on. I'd watch him youngers and pray, say, "God, save old Jesse. God, save Jesse and Rachel, Jesse's mama. Oh, God, save them tonight. God, save them, wash them in the blood." I mean, about closing time, he got invitation time. I'd listen to him eating on the speaker down there. I mean, my preacher was shelling the corn, brother. He wasn't cutting no slack. He's a witch in the Bible.
Yeah, yeah, Lord. Amen.
Him younger said, "About invitation time, the devil came in that room where we sat. He said, that little girl, that little boy said, 'I want my mom. I want my dad.' I got to that door and I said, 'Young, if you stay with me this far, you're going to stay with me through the meeting's over.'" I mean, brother, I wouldn't go with the devil. I'd have beat us this early in the game. It wasn't about 10 minutes. There come a knock on the door. It's one of them sisters upstairs. They said, "Brother Daddy, Jesse's mom and dad is down there on the altar. And they're calling for you to come pray with her." Catholic girl get saved by the grace of God. I seen an old girl by the daddy get cleaned up by the grace of God.
Yeah.
You tell me, brother, it's out of style. I'll tell you, it's in style.
Yeah.
I mean, God can still work a miracle by the amazing grace of God. Saving grace.
Yeah.
Ah, Lord, have mercy. I'm talking about saving grace. I see my old daddy yonder in the hills of Alabama, married my mama 40 years. 40 years of marriage. He retired from a steel mill, went to drinking and run around, acted a fool, and divorced my mama and left. You know what my mama did? My mama got on her face to God. I said, "God, I want you to do something marvelous." Oh, I said, "Mama, hey, you told such a load." She said, "Son, I got the Lord in here."
Yeah.
Oh, she never did stop saying. She never man to stop going to feed the sheep and looking for God to bring some saving grace on the saved.
Yeah.
About 4 years ago, we was in a revival meeting about like this tonight. And things are getting good, and I mean getting sweet. I saw my old daddy walk in the door back yonder, come in the house of God and sit down. That altar called town, I saw him hang his head down there where he's laying. All of a sudden, I saw my daddy get up and make his way to the old fashioned altar. But God, I saw my daddy get right with God. Complete with God. I saw God's amazing grace. I'd do something for his life. 2 years ago, Christmas, I took an old King James Bible and married my mom and daddy back together again. Soldier come by and say, Barabbas, you ain't gonna believe it, son, but a man upstairs took your place and they told me to come down here and open the gate and to turn you loose, brother. Thank God, Dave, that's what happened to me one yonder about 12 years ago. I was condemned to die. I ought to die. I was guilty, but the Lord said, turn him loose and he did and let him go. Substitution of grace.
Yeah.
Point number three.
Yeah.
The Bible said not only saving grace and substitution of grace, thank God they strengthening grace. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, brother, sometimes the road gets weary, the miles get long, but I'm glad God's able to slip up beside you and give you some strengthening grace.
Yeah.
Bible said in 1 Peter 5:10, but the grace of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you, brother, when we're weary and worn. There's strengthening grace. I preached a week one time. I down in Mississippi. Drove 6 hours to preach one Sunday night message. I got up and preached to a bunch of folks. And they looked at me like I shot out of a
cannon.
Ain't none of y'all look like that tonight, I don't think.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to tell. But.
Yeah.
But I know if I began to preach, them people have never heard nobody like me before. They just been watching,
Lord.
And it was quiet like a turkey farm at Thanksgiving. I mean, it was quiet. Nobody was saying nothing. I preached hard, got up, left. They didn't have much to say. Except goodbye.
Yeah.
I started back up the road. I dialed up the Interstate 65 in Mobile, Alabama. I got to Montgomery. I got to Birmingham. Man, I mean, I tried. I preached hard. And the devil got in the car with me. You ever got in there with you?
Yeah.
I mean, he come in and sat down. He said, son, first thing he always does, he brags. He said, son, that's a good preacher you do. I said, you ain't never lied.
Yeah,
yeah. That was pretty good, wasn't it? You know, Beth got out fishing for a couple. I said, that was pretty good one. He said, yeah, boy, that's good. He said, you know something? He said, them people didn't like you. He said, they didn't. And he said, you know you're killing yourself driving up this road preaching like you preach. And he said, you know what that old preacher told me when I started. He said, if you don't quit preaching like you preaching, he said, you ain't going to be able to sing. And he said, when you get where you can't sing, he said, you ain't going to have no meetings. And the devil said, you know that to be a fact. You're holding that to call it all. I said, you're right again.
Yeah.
No, the conversation was really, didn't much. We went up a road. We got up through Birmingham, up to Gary. Then we turned off and got up to Sand Mountain where I live. But another visitor entered the car about that point.
Yeah!
I mean, an old friend. But a guy, my counselor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The living body.
Yeah.
He entered that car and he said, son, who calls you to preach? I said, you did. He said, who qualified you to preach? I said, you did. He said, who's been supplying your needs while you preaching? I said, you did. He said, run the devil out then. Quit paying his gas. We roll on a permanent yard. I'm trying to get rough with God, get stuff out of my heart. Brother, I'm talking about squeezing and grave. I got a further car. Got out of my yard, woke up the front porch. My wife met me in the door and said, guess what happened tonight? So what you doing up the wee hours of the morning? You know, I'm tired. She said, I just wanted to tell you what happened. I said, what happened? She said, baby girl Allison got saved tonight while you've gone.
Yeah.
I'm talking about strengthening grace. I said, honey, if you don't mind, I'd like you to sell me a horse and watch this church. I put me in a clean purse car. I feel like riding in the morning early. I want to preach about God's grace again. Oh, Lord God, I'm talking about strengthening grace when there's no need, when you're weary, when you can't go on. Point number four.
Yeah.
I mean, he got seven grace. Seven grace. I don't know about you, and I started out preaching. I don't dehorn the goat.
Yeah.
I knew everything there was to know about preaching. I mean, I can answer your prophetical questions. I could answer your doctrinal questions. We'd make all the divisions in the Word of God. Hadn't been saved 3 months. I mean, no, everything. Just ask me anything about the Bible. I mean, I was a first-class smart aleck when I was. I mean, brother, I know all at once. No, nobody could tell me nothing. But, brother, 12 years down the road now, as I look back, brother, it ain't me, but it's God we need, brother. I mean, God's the one we need. It ain't Dr. Whistle Richard, or sounding brass, or tinkling cymbal, but it's God. Settling grace. Best way to settle a man, he had to take me down the woodshed several times. When I come back, I wished I hadn't been, but he was settling me in the grace of God. It'll stop you running. And here to yonder, looking here, looking there. Just settle down somewhere, camp out. Enjoy the blessings of God. Amen.
Yeah.
Find out where God wants you.
Yeah.
Get you a good seat and just kind of settle in.
Yeah.
Say, God, what's
yeah.
that? Amen.
Yeah.
How many of God believes in the church? He's a Bible believing preacher and he lives right. He wants to do right. They ain't no need to go 100 miles looking somewhere else. Just settle in here. Say, God bless me. God use me. God help me. God settle me. And use me, the grace of God. Point number five.
Yeah.
They school in grace.
Yeah.
Titus 2:11, for the grace of God to bring salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Yeah.
That's schooling grace.
Yeah.
You know what we mess up at? We want to put the rules and the regulations on a Christian when they get saved.
Yeah.
We want to give them our set of rules and say, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It ain't just preachers. It's Christians. Somebody gets saved, just a brand new baby in Christ. They're saying, you know, you had to give up smoking. You had to give up chewing. Now, I'm just saying this. I don't smoke, dip, nor chew, nor run with those that do. But, brother, I mean, them rules and regulations, they'll kill a young Christian. What we turn into is just little fools.
Yeah.
What them little regulations are. You ought not wear this. You ought not wear that. You ought not wear your hair like this. Huh? Oh, yeah, brother, we'll do it. I say, brother, let God deal with a man. Let him work in a man's life. Let grace teach him and school him and burn sin out of him and wait on God to do it and keep your hands off of him. My daddy chews tobacco, and he'll be chewing tobacco next time you see me. He ain't gonna quit. And I don't agree with him, but he's gonna do it. He said to something you're old. He'll shoot you, run you out of your house. You went in there bought his tobacco. Now, I'd rather him come and sit over in the corner and take a look at you every now and then and try to serve God. I had to run him out the door. I had. I mean, brother, God's grace will school a man, but you got to wait on God to do it. Hey, I was playing ball and I got saved. I've worked all my life to be a ball player. I played college basketball and God saved me. I had on them little shorts out there. I'd run out there playing, had a little hair. And there I was. There were things I won't mention I was doing. But I was wild and crazy. And God saved me. And I got saved. God can heal me. After a while, I went in there and seen my coach. I give him my shorts. And I said, buddy, I won't be back out here no more. He said, God saved me, and I don't feel right no more dressed like this out here in front of y'all. He said, the cheerleaders over there dressed half-clothed, and me over here. I said, that just won't work for me. Didn't nobody have to tell me. Hey, the night I got saved, I had long hair. I come in that night, God saved me, and I had long hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
Hey! Yeah. I mean, I'm still saved, too.
Yeah.
12 years, they said, it won't last till the corn comes in. They get a crop 12 years, another 12, another, and it's still real in my heart.
Yeah.
I come home at night and never read the Bible. Didn't know nothing. All I know is it's a booger man who moved out, and God has moved me in.
Yeah.
I said, Daddy, I said, if you will, Daddy, for me and Mama had a little Baptist coastal spell around the living room when I got home that night, you know, holy dance. Do you good sometimes?
Yeah.
I said, Daddy, I don't know nothing about God. I don't know about church. But I said, I know I'm brand new tonight. I said, if you will, Daddy, I want you to take them shears over and cut my hair off tonight. I said, I don't know much about it, but I feel new inside. I'd like to new now. I like to look new when the sun comes up in the morning. Daddy took some shears. I look like I've been through a weed eater. I look wild. I look like a poodle dog.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. Glory to God. Bubbling in my soul. I didn't know how to dress. I know nothing. That preacher that night had on a long sleeve white shirt with a collar button right here. I got up the next morning and dug out one of my old daddy's white shirts from long sleeves. Put it on and button that top up. Walked out of the sunshine. Man, they thought I was gone crazy. But I'm telling you, the glory of God was speaking right here, brother. His amazing grace had come in my heart. I walked around that day. You talk about thunder and booming. I thunder and booming. I didn't know that raising hell and fussing in churches. Oh, I know that your time. Bless God and joy. Thank goodness. Brother, I'm still enjoying it.
Yeah.
Point number six.
Yeah.
A sufficient grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good definition for grace. God's redemption at Christ's expense. That's a good definition. Or God's resources at Christ's expense. There's an abundant supply of the grace of God. There's an inexhaustible supply. There's an all-sufficient supply. I like what that old songwriter said. Grace for you, grace for me. Grace for every need. Whatever it is, there's grace. For temptations, I like for trials. What about this, brother? For tongue lashings. You ever had a good tongue lashing? I mean, somebody just strife you with their tongue. There's grace for that, brother. There's grace for that. For termination of life. Let me give you this. Temptation is a solicitation from below, never from above. Temptation. He wants us to ease up, slack up, compromise any way he can get to us. Compromise is the devil's way of giving us compromise on the installment plans. It's always just a little here and a little there. Just do this. Just do that. Just let up here. They tell me, they said, brother, you can book up north. They'll preach you up north all over the country. You'll just mellow out a little bit, not be so loud. Don't run around when you preach. And don't scream quite as loud. And don't be quiet as fast as you preach. Just slow down a little and kind of pre-teach, you know. Kind of hit the middle of the road. Man, I'd rather be back there and running a watermelon pie. I'd rather be anywhere than preaching like I'm supposed to be too. I ain't eating enough. I ain't slacking up. I ain't quitting self. Brother, they ain't had it. Ain't no fire back. And enjoy the blessings of God. God's the author of this grace, and it's an abundance. And he appropriates the grace of God. I like it. Appropriation. That's a big word for a country boy. That's good. Appropriation. I like it. Now see, if I give you the grace, I might favor somebody. But the Lord distributes that grace out equally. Amen. To the poor, to the rich. Butcher, baker, candlestick maker. The Lord's got that grace. He appropriates it. I like what Hebrews 4:14 said. So let us come bold to the throne of grace. We might obtain mercy. I like that, don't you? Man, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I said, Lord, one time I said, Lord, goodness. I said, they sure ain't much goodness about me. He said, that's why I give you mercy too. That's my running partners. It's his goodness and his mercy. And I'm pleading for his mercy. Amen? I'm like an old black convict. He said, Brother Danny, he said, when I went to court the other day, I didn't want justice. I pled mercy. Amen? Yeah. Oh, I said, boy, I know what you're talking about. It ain't justice we need. It's mercy. Amen? Yeah. Then there's the anticipation of that grace of God. He said, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That grace is going to be manifested in the rapture and the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I mean, These youngins a while ago, they're swinging about that camp dance. I like that. Amen? I started to get up and blast off with them. Oh, I like that. Amen? How many of them like that? Blasting off as they do it. Somebody said they launched that rocket down there in Cape Canaveral. I think it's Mr. Glenn was the first astronaut. I said, that ain't so. They lying, that ain't so. You know who the first astronaut was? Oh, Enoch. Amen. How many the Bible said he was and he was not? He wasn't an astronaut, he was not. Amen. How many old Enoch? He walked with God and God blasted him off one day. Left here with him. Amen. That's translating grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Translating grace. But then they transporting grace. Amen. I mean, you better check in right here at the office. Then you better check up daily, because someday we're soon to check out of here. Amen. I'm leaving here, brother, like Superman and coming back like the Lone Ranger. Amen. Grace. Get us out of here. Oh, ain't God good tonight? I feel like he's come in and sat down in here somewhere with us tonight. Salvation commits us in grace. Salvation continues us in grace. Salvation consummates us to grace. Someday there'll be grace to leave this world. Transporting grace. Someday to leave this world. Somebody said, Brother Dan, do you really believe that? I do. I'm honest, I do. Now somebody said, Brother Dan, I ain't scared to die. Won't you quit lying? You know you are, and I am too. If you ain't, why ain't you out here trying to get a busload up? Leave tonight. But listen, you know why we're scared to die? Because it ain't time to die. When it comes dying time, there'll be that grace. I remember an old man. Hey, what if you're in here? What do you call that town? That's Barnett and Christians. Come on, doctor. What is that? What is Barnett and Christians? Dark Ages. There was this man beside his family. And they went and got him and hid the laws and drug him out of his law. There they was. There they was. They headed to the cross. They was going to kill him. It was bad. And the Christians gathered around that where they was going to burn the stake that day, and they said, if it's really real, if God's really real in his dying time, I believe his name is Knox, John Knox. In his dying time, they said, if you will, said, just raise one hand. Wait, you ask, God really real right there at dying time? He said, I will. They tied him up to that stake, put that wood around him, set that fire, and lit it. The little Christians huddled around watching him. That fire engulfed him. And the skin, the flesh began to melt, the sinews began to cook, smell, smolder. They watched him. It looked like the life left his body. And the Christians said, all of a sudden, them ropes burned into on his hands. He raised both hands up high. Time sitting in the car, Bumblebee flew in. He said, the boy said, Daddy, let me hail that Bumblebee. He said, son, that'd be a sting. It'll sting. The boy said, I'm going to have that bee. Well, his daddy sent that bee lit on the dash in the car. And he took a book and come down across that bee and just barely caught the back end of that Bumblebee and his stinger mashed down. Come out of there, and the core and the stinger, and the bumblebee can still be he can still fly, he can still buzz, but his stinger was gone. He reached over and gave him that little ball, and he just played with it. And the boy couldn't be stung because there wasn't no stinger left in that bee. That's what Jesus done, brother. He went through there and took out the sting of death. And now it's been grave where it's our victory. A death where it's our sting. I mean, brother, at the cross, we'll see. He'll be waiting for me. The Lord coming back and redeeming us, the other. Translating grace. In the lonely dungeon prison house, Paul said, bring my parchments. And when you come, said, bring my cloak and bring my parchments. He wanted them one more glance at them parchments.